Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
I'm doing that because of your earbuds. I had to do that so that it's just a weird thing that the way that these earbuds connect.
So if you unplug my earbuds, you wouldn't be able to hear?
No, the funny thing is if I unplugged your earbuds, like, can you hear me right now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, cool. It's earbuds are weird on these things. It's just
that's
the way that the connection
bizarre
works.
As shit.
It's because we don't have universal connectors.
We need a main connector.
We need like what Europe's doing with the cell phone thing.
Main connectors.
Yeah, where everyone's got to have a universal charger. And then iPhone is like, okay, well, then we're just going to take away the charging port. So everything has to be remote charged.
Okay, because there's a shit ton of phones that are not iPhones available.
Oh, my God. And well, it's such an annoying thing, too, because like I like to lay in bed. Well, but here's the thing, though. I've used an iPhone for over 11 years at this point. So I don't want to switch to a different phone. I have a great plan. I don't want to do anything crazy with that.
My favorite thing I've seen regarding the iPhone 100% is there's a, you know, they did, there was the AirPods thing because they got rid of the jack. And yeah. It is literally headphone cords for your AirPods.
Yeah.
I was fucking dying. I was laughing my ass off.
My ears are weird for AirPods. So I hate wearing them. I tried them and I'm like, no, I don't like these. I don't like these at all.
I use them for the gym. So,
well, I mean, I would too. That's
and,
why I was.
And at work.
I was going to try to. I got big sound canceling headphones I use in the gym. So I don't.
Yeah, I would probably, those would probably fly off my fucking head.
It's because you got the head shaved. I got some hair that holds it in.
I might just knock them off or.
Well, yeah, that's normally what would happen if I'm not paying attention. Yes. All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Game Classy. I'm your host, Joe. And with me as always
welcome
is
to WKXC33, your source for morning news. And it's Wacky Weekends.
All right. So it's the top of the hour. You know what that means? It's time to get the lead out with back-to-back Led Zeppelin.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I think we lost the licensing for Led Zeppelin, so we're going to have to get the lead out with some AC/DC.
No, it's Get the Lead Out is always on the top of the hour.
Yeah, but that's do they even do that anymore? Is it the Loop? Is
I
the loop
don't.
Even
I, it's, who knows?
I don't even know if the Loop
local
exists as a channel
Chicago
anymore.
Chicago references.
Yeah, the Loop played Get the Lead Out, but I don't even know if the Loop exists anymore as a radio station.
I don't know. I haven't listened to radio at all.
Yeah, I don't know.
The only person I know who like who's occasionally like, you know what I like listening to? The radio. That's Pat. Pat likes listening to the radio.
Yeah, that's just odd.
Pat doesn't listen to this podcast, so we can make fun of him.
Tisk tisk, Pat.
Yeah, tisk tisk. Hey, everybody. We got some fun stuff to talk about. I think one of the most important things that I like to talk about is Steve kind of, sort of, tacitly gave a hint that he might go to Adepticon.
I'm going to Adepticon.
Woo, Steve's going to Adepticon. Woo!
It's confirmed.
Are you playing anything? Or
I
no?
purchased tickets. I purchased a team tournament entry.
Ooh,
and
for AOS?
Yeah.
Oh,
and
nice.
I will be there.
Cool.
And I took the time off work, so everything is done.
I was talking.
I will actually be at Adepticon this year.
Which is funny. The only games I'm playing in at Adepticon are on Thursday.
Nice.
So it's like, because there was nothing that I legitimately wanted to play on Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah,
so.
The team tournament will be 2 days, so it'll be Thursday, Friday.
That's one thing is I hate fucking 2-day tournaments.
That's the standard.
I know. It's just such a fucking. It's just, first of all, why do you think you have the gall, sir, the gall to believe that your tournament is worth 2 days of play?
Well, it's because people want 5 rounds, but they make the rounds are so long.
Yeah.
So.
To make sure.
I mean, I'd be okay. Well, also the price is very high for a lot of these tournaments. So like you want to have bang for your buck, I suppose.
Chess clock.
Yeah. Well, the problem is there's too much shared action in Age of Sigmar for a chess clock.
Yeah, I guess.
There's too much of you doing things on my. The only reason it works for games like War Machine and King's War is that on my turn you do literally nothing.
Well, you know, but the thing with the chess clock is that you can literally give each person a set amount of time that they can use total. So
yeah, it would be really weird for AOS because the game is so non-standardized. Like with again, I'll use Kings of War and War Machine.
Yeah. Well, I know, yeah, it's like the way Fantasy used to be. It's like, or 40K still is.
Yeah, there's too much variance between the armies to run a chess clock.
Well, but that's
because some armies just roll more dice, so they'd be at an abstracted disadvantage in tournaments.
That's also the reason why you shouldn't bring a shit ton of things and learn how to play your army so you could play quick.
No, just like mechanically, like some arm, like night goblins.
Yeah.
They roll a lot of dice. Just even if you're playing quickly, they still have a lot of dice to roll. It's just like the old, it's like the old Imp Guard where you would get wins because you would just, you would slow play by just playing.
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't even, like no one could actually be like, I'm going to give you a penalty for slow playing because you could play at a brisk pace. You just had so many models and so much dice.
Well, but I mean, okay, so I'm not disagreeing with you on this, but what I'm saying is that, okay, so let's say, what's the average round of a tournament? Like, they do a 3-hour round?
I think they do 3.5 hours.
Okay, so let's say we do 4 hours. Let's just round up, okay? Makes it nice and easy. So what a chess clock can do is that you have 2 hours allotted to you. I have 2 hours allotted to me. Now, I know what you're saying by gobbled players have a lot of mechanics that they have to use. But because you know that the limit of your round is 2 hours, you need to take an army that you know you could play in under 2 hours, is what I'm saying.
You would just change the army.
You change the army composition.
But then people would be like, well, I can't play the army that I like, so I'm just not going to play in your tournament.
Well, I mean, but we don't need those people.
I mean, I don't know if I would want to just be like, carte blanche, you can't play this army because it's not...
Oh, no, no. You can play the army, but you just realize that you have to play in 2 hours. And so it's like, if you want to...
It just wouldn't work. It wouldn't work for you. Like, it works for Kings of War and War Machine because there's only so... Like, in War Machine, you're rolling a maximum of 5 dice with whatever. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. Both players roll 5 dice. So you can slap the time clock easily for the other player when they're doing the rolls because you're all rolling about the same amount. Now... It would work for 30K because everyone's playing fucking Space Marines.
Yeah.
So that would be very easy to chess clock because everyone's like,
but you know what though?
Very close to one another.
The cool thing about, I always extol the virtues of 30K, mainly because it's A, easy to control. B, there's not a huge meta. Like,
yeah, it's
game
very
thing.
Standardized.
And the third thing is that all of the tournaments and games that they do for it at Adepticon are all narrative based. So there is no like structure, like, we're just playing against each other. It's like there's a specific like narrative that's involved with the games that are being played. Yeah, it's not like a tournament, but I mean, there are winners. People do win prizes for it.
I just don't think Age of Sigmar games go to time that much.
Yeah.
Like I have not seen very many games go to time to require a chess clock. It's just the game takes a certain amount of time to play, and that's just kind of how long it takes to play.
But
I think the two day thing is just there's a twofold factor. One, it's a holdover from grand tournaments because grand tournaments were always 2 days.
Yeah.
There were always 5 rounds, 2 days. But you could just do a one day three round.
That's what I was thinking.
Like, you could do that.
Yeah. I mean, you have to really work on points, but whatever on that end. But you know what? You want to know something that's crazy I was thinking about with Age of Sigmar? Now, I know we talk about it quite a bit, but I was actually just thinking that Games Workshop's painting themselves in a bit of a corner with this newest edition, like how they're doing these new editions. Like, I don't know about you, but when I see Age of Sigmar, I see them kind of putting out new rule books is to kind of like go like, oh yeah, we like these mechanics, so we're gonna do these mechanics. So now we're gonna update all the books for these mechanics. Mm-hmm. So it's not quite like a new addition, like I guess you mean
like giving every faction like a piece of terrain,
yeah,
that kind of thing?
Like, okay. Oh, we're gonna give every faction a piece of terrain, so we're gonna put out all new books and we're gonna have all these mechanics like summoning and blah blah blah.
The writers kind of mix and match on that. Like, for example, like some of the, like, you can, there's like, there's two main writers, I can't remember what their names are, but one writes very cohesive and strong army books like OCR Bone Reapers, and the other one writes competent but not quite as cohesive army books like the Ogre Maw Tribes. The Ogre Maw Tribes is a book that is like very duct taped together.
Yeah.
It's like you can sort of play a mixed army, but it kind of sucks.
Yeah.
It put them at playable tier. like that's far as it lifted in the playable tier. Like, they're not completely unplayable now, but like you can see the difference between how cohesive the OCR Bone Reapers book is, and like you can be like, I can build it this way, I can build it this way, I can build it this way, and there's a lot of like mix and match. Ogres just don't work that way.
Well, I mean, that's the happy medium between having a brand new army, OCR Bone Reapers, and having a patched together army.
Well,
like
even
Ogres.
Even some of the Redux codexes are
Redux.
Yes, even some of the Redux codexes are more cohesive. Like Flesh Eater Courts. They're not a new army.
Yeah, but Flesh Eater Courts is not like one of those big mushy books. Like the mushy books are like Ogre Maw Tribes, Skaven, Beastmen.
Cities of Sigmar.
Cities of Sigmar.
Power. Like Cities of Sigmar would be just below S tier, and Ogres is like C tier.
Yeah.
So like, not a new army. You can do it.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, the thing with the Cities of Sigmar is you also have a fuck ton of shit in that book.
Doesn't necessarily make a good army.
It does not. Yeah, you are correct on that one. No, I got a buddy who's getting into AOS. He's done stuff.
Tell him, please, Exchange Host, because they somehow released a more broken one.
So I'm talking with him, and so he's really excited about the return to Warhammer Fantasy, and he's like every time they post anything little on it, he like sends me a text about it, and then so he sent me the map thing. And I was like, oh, yeah, this looks like it's going to be Age of Three Emperors. So it's going to be like 30K and where it's a specific set of time inside the fantasy realm. So what does that mean? That means that there's going to be specific characters that you can play, specific units you can play.
That's Gorbat Ironclaw for the orcs. I don't know who the chaos dude is. But it would just be Empire, Chaos, and Orcs. That would be the only factions that would be relevant.
I mean, you could still have other factions. They exist at that time, but they have specific characters. They have specific... Like,
if you're
Bretonian,
doing the battles of that war, though, it's just going to be those five factions.
Okay, but let's look at the grand old scheme.
Well, three factions, but technically five, because they would probably break the Empire into three.
Yeah. I mean, you could have Bretonnia show up and do shit. You could have... vampire counts, because you got Sylvania over there.
Bretonnian players are never getting new models. No, don't get their hopes up.
I'm just teasing. I mean, you got Skaven, you got Beastmen, Chaos Warriors, Chaos Demons, Three Emperors, Orcs, Goblins, if they're going to separate them, or Orcs and Goblins.
They'll probably
be
Orcs and Goblins. And for Chaos will probably be a smush. They'll probably do Skaven, Chaos, Beastmen all together in the same
faction. Mean, it's all going to depend. I mean, who knows? But anyway, so we're talking about that, and he's like, oh, I just can't wait for it. And I'm just like, because he's like, I'm going to buy some Ogres for it. And then I was like, you know that the game is 4 years out, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, what?
You don't even know if the Ogres are going to be legal in it.
Well, yeah. I was like, yeah, they said it at the initial post. It's like 4 years out from whatever they're going to release. I don't even think they really decided on what game engine. We were talking about that through text. It's the game engines. So, and I was thinking about this because I was saying with 30K, they use 7th edition rules, and in 40K, they're an 8th edition. But I forgot that when Horus Heresy started, they were still in 7th edition. So then when the rules split to 8th edition, Horus Heresy was like, yeah, we're just going to keep the same rules. It's working for us. We're not going to worry. And our lead designer's dead. So I don't even know. Like, if they're doing fantasy square bases, my absolute gut feeling is they're just going to use the 8th edition engine.
Hopefully they just use fixed 6th.
I would agree. I think that's the best idea. But I'd probably say the big favor is going to be
all
8th.
They got to do is use my rank bonus idea. It's perfect.
I know, but no one ever. You're like the Cassandra of the gaming world. No one listens to your predictions, your prophecies.
It's a really good idea. I thought it was like, I was just thinking about it now because I remember you were saying it sucked to have big units in Warhammer Fantasy that like only got their front row attacking.
Yeah.
And I was just like, well, just let them attack to the ranks up equal to their rank bonus, because that fixes everything, and it actually makes every configuration of unit more or less tactical. Because like, if you have a huge ass frontage unit of spearmen, that's a fuck ton of attacks. But also you have a huge ass frontage unit, which means you're very vulnerable to flank targets.
And you have a giant rear flank.
Yeah, and then you have a giant rear flanks. And of course, I said it's equal to, you get ranks equal to your rank bonus.
No,
so if you get flanked,
it's a genius idea. I think it's great. And I love, and that would really help out people who loved the role.
I'll just call it fixed 6th.
Well, it's chuck and dice is what it is. And people, like, you either love chuck and dice or you don't. And that's the difference between like a fantasy player and a War Machine Hordes player, you know?
But you can also, you don't have to play a chuck and dice. It also would change the value of what units were. Like skeletons, you'd still probably want to field in a 4-man frontage. Because you want the depth.
Yeah,
you don't want a lot of, you want the ranks forever. You don't want attacks because the attacks are useless. And then I would, the other change would be all immune to psychology. Every immune to psychology army just gets crumbling rules. Like, no matter what immune to psychology, like, you just crumble. Like, instead, like, or unbreakable.
Yeah.
If you have unbreakable, not immune to psychology, unbreakable. If you have anything that gives you unbreakable, you also crumble like skeletons.
So the flagellants will just go.
Yeah, they'll just crumble. Well, no, they have high leadership.
Yeah.
So like you still take a leader You still just lose, you lose models equal to however much you lost the combat by.
Yeah.
Because that would fit, because, I mean, one of the things that was so brutal about, like, the demon lists and stuff, you'd just be like, you'd charge in, you'd kill a good amount of Khorne bloodletters, and then they'd just be like, eh.
Well, yeah.
Don't care.
Yeah. I was telling him about that. I'm like, you know, it's 4 years out. And now we don't even know what the game, we don't even know if they're going to, like, what the bases are going to look like.
Yeah, also true. It could be fucking hex based for all we know.
And so he was like, ah, fuck it, I'll just play Age of Sigmar. So I'm going to be teaching him some Age of Sigmar.
Just get him to play Disciples of Tzeentch and you'll never want to play him ever again. It's so great. That book was, the Change Host was the fucking boogeyman of an entire edition of Age of Sigmar. It was like, it was the most hated, the most oppressive, the strongest army in the game, like top tables as five fucking Change Host armies in mirror matches, and they released the new one and it's fucking better. It's actually better than the original.
But is
like the army that almost tanked an entire edition of the game, it is better than that army.
Is the Caradon Overlords as good?
No, the Caradon Overlords are good though. Yeah. They're the Caradon Overlords. So there's two things about the Caradon Overlords. One, they are good, and two, their level of power compared to where they used to be is like a fucking chasm. Like, I can't even stretch that far to how big the chasm is between the new ones and old ones. They made everything that was completely unplayable is now playable. The boats are actually worthwhile because the boats fucking sucked previously.
Oh, yeah,
now they're actually worthwhile because if for nothing else, their fly high rule is incredibly good. It lets you just lift them up off the table and then deep strike them just every turn.
Sing fly high, Michelle, or is it sky high, Michelle? I don't remember.
Oh, I don't know. Fly high was the old. That was the old fifth edition.
I remember. I remembered the old fifth edition. Yeah. My
bloodthirster flies high. I drop to your general. I kill your general. Your army has to break.
Well, for me,
cool game.
Cool game. No, for me it was the fucking Warhawk Riders.
Yeah,
because you could do that, and that was broke. Yeah,
so the thing is, it's not broke with the dwarves because they
fly
are...
high. Michelle was enough Z-nuff. I should have known that because I dated a girl once whose sister knew the lead singer of Enough Z-nuff.
All right,
yeah, and he was at a party I was at one time.
All right,
this is back in the early 2000s. So
all right,
a while ago. I'm just saying,
I tough enough.
Enough Z-nuff. They were a hair metal band in the 80s.
Nice.
Wait. I want to see if let's get a DMC strike on this one, on this podcast, because you might as well. Wait, doesn't matter. We don't make any money.
It's true. Yeah, I mean they can take all your revenue of $0.
Yeah. Oh, this video is fucking.
It's very. I can hear the 80s coming off of it. I can feel it. Nice.
This should be the new theme song to Game Classy.
Enough is enough.
I could probably talk to Chips Enough and see if it's...
Yeah.
Oh, man. This
His name is...
is
Chips Enough?
I believe so.
That's fucking hilarious because there's a Guilty Gear character named Chips Enough, so it's got to be that. That is...
Oh, man, this video is...
That is some 80s hair metal for sure. Oh, man. Everyone, you need to look up this video. It's horrible. It's so good. You have to look it up. Maybe we'll link it. Man, it's bad.
Oh.
I mean, I like that though.
Yeah,
I like horrible shit. So
they're not the best metal band, hair metal band of the 1980s. Let me tell you that.
Was there a good hair metal band?
Poison. Skinny bop bop, blow me away.
I mean,
skinny bop bop.
I don't know if that's actually good.
We both lie.
I mean, I like the Poison cheese. Don't get me wrong. They've got more cheese than a can of cheese.
Oh, wait, that wasn't Poison. That was No. Was that Poison? Yeah, Every Rose Has Its Thorn was Poison.
No, every rose, that's Guns N' Roses.
No, that is not Guns N' Roses.
Isn't it?
No. Every rose has a
thorn. Oh, no, I think that... No, that is Poison. Because that's on the CD, the old infomercial, Monster Ballads.
Yeah.
Monster Ballads. It could be yours for $14.99 plus shipping and handling.
I think that...
November Rain is Guns N' Roses.
Yes.
Even cold November rain. It's fucking Slash. It's fucking hair all over the place. It's good stuff.
I remember I watched what the fuck were they doing? They were playing November Rain on something or other. I think it was like an old, like, Behind the Music, which also Poison's Behind the Music. But the Guns N' Roses one, they had they're talking, some guy talking about how at some Grammy performance, like, Slash got on top of the piano and was playing the November Rain solo while Axl was playing the piano or something like that. And they were like, it was a great moment of bonding between these two artists where they wanted to show this, this, and this. And I was like, I think Slash just wanted to get on a piano.
That's most likely it.
More likely it. But Poisons was awesome because you have CeCe DeMille going like, we partied so hard, we went from a house of whores to a house of horrors. CeCe DeMille, so, Ricky Rocket, and Bobby Dahl, and Bret Michaels.
So Phil came in, yeah? And he came in and he strummed up this tune, yeah? And I said, that's a number one record.
Pretty much. I love Behind the Music. So those were I was not old enough to appreciate them when I was.
I liked Unsolved Mysteries. That's what I was watching when Behind the Music was on air. Robert Stack.
Yeah.
I forgot to link it
Bigfoot.
To you. Yeah, I forgot to link it to you because sometimes Unsolved Mysteries went completely off fucking rails.
Oh, no. When they did the cryptids, those
they
were
did
my
cryptids
absolute,
and UFOs.
Those were my absolute fucking favorite episodes. Because the true crime ones, they were always like, after at the end of every episode, they would be like, there's an addendum to it. Yeah, that guy did it.
Yeah, he did
like,
it.
We knew it. He did it.
The addendum is Bigfoot may or may not be real.
Bigfoot is real. He's magic.
He's not real. Bigfoot's not real.
Bigfoot?
Bigfoot is someone's fursona.
That could very well be.
Perhaps that's it. Maybe the truth is not that it's a missing link, nor is it a mistaken person just in a regular fursuit mistaken for Bigfoot, but it is in fact directly in the center. And Bigfoot is just someone's persona.
Okay, here's my new theory. Bigfoot is a tulpa.
A tulpa?
A tulpa. Like from,
I don't know what a tulpa is.
A tulpa is a thought given form by enough people in believing that it can exist.
Oh, okay. That's like that's the theory for American Gods, right? Where like
kind of similar, okay. Yeah.
Like gods burst into existence because enough people worship
believe
them
it.
Or
like humans have, like, it's the human orc thing from 40K, where our psychic ability is so great.
Yeah, this gun shouldn't work, but he believes it.
But I mean, like, the emperor is not a god, but enough people now believe that he is a god. That he is a god. He has enough power to be a god.
He has the psionic abilities.
Yes, to be a god.
Okay,
so I believe Bigfoot it may be a tulpa. Where enough people believe that Bigfoot exists, so therefore Bigfoot was willed into existence. It's also a lot of what's his face, Aleister Crowley and shit.
Mr. Crowley, boom, boom, boom. Yeah. What went on in your head?
Yeah, but it's like when Aleister Crowley did his famous like a magic spell that lasted for a year or whatever it was. In that he failed to finish it correctly, that it opened up the door to allow these psychic entities in, and we give them form with our thought. I believe that, you know, I'm only a level one mystic.
Cthulhu is really dreaming now because so many people believe in Cthulhu.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, you do watch Sabrina on Netflix?
No, but I did see the trailer for Color Out of Space, and I am fucking...
You're
I'm
in?
So invested.
I cannot wait. It's actually playing in Chicago right
I'm
now.
I'm so invested.
It's playing over at, I think, the Music Box currently.
Nice.
But the Sabrina season, they do a very Call of Cthulhu-esque arc this season. Hmm. And not like in like... the books. I'm talking like as in like a role playing session.
Oh, nice.
It seems like it. Like they go to a spooky circus, and the spooky circus is all about filled with pagans who have a green man who they're going to try and will into existence.
The green man.
Yeah. Or they're, you know, whatever's going on there. So it's very cool. Like it's got a very Lovecraft vibe to it.
I like it.
Yeah.
Like Midsommar.
A little bit. Well, not as much as Midsommar, I think, is a little less. I mean, Midsommar hints at it. You know?
I mean, there is a face made out of trees in Midsommar.
Yeah.
Like, that's something we almost missed, but then we saw it and was like, that's a fucking face. That tree's a fucking face.
I know. Yeah, I was actually talking to a girl at work about that because we were talking about witches because she wants to burn some sage to get out some bad juju, right? And so I was like, yeah, I don't trust women with witchcraft, man. You give a woman an opportunity, she's going to join a cult, and she's going to join a coven. She's going to kill all the men, and she's going to have a dress with pockets. That's what it all takes. And they're going to join that coven.
That sounds good.
Yeah. I mean, not for us, but...
Oh, I mean, I'm fine.
Nope, I'm cool.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah.
They'll be slaughtering all the men, and I'll be like, sup? And they'll just be like, hey, how's it going, Steve? And I'll be like, you know, it's all right. You going on that sacrifice rampage thing? Yeah. Like, all right. Well, I made some corn poppers.
If you guys are
hungry for those, you know, they're like fritters, kind of.
Yeah.
They're a little sweet. Yeah. Have them. All right. I'm gonna go back to playing Fallout. All right. See ya. And then they go on their murderous rampage.
All right. If you think you'll survive the male murder rampage,
I think I would.
All right.
I think I would. Okay. I think I'm just passive enough to where they'll just be like.
That's true. Would killing you be worth the 5 seconds it
exactly
takes?
Just like it's like when there's multiple predators, you know, they don't fight each other. It's just like, it's not enough. There's not enough energy. Yes.
With the witches, and she was like, "Do you ever see the movie The Witch?" And I was like, "Yes, I love the Vavitch.
I would like to live deliciously."
I would love to live deliciously. And then I said, "But have you seen Midsommar?" And she goes, "Yes." And I go, "Oh no, didn't look too bad. I'd be up for it." Like, what did they kill themselves at? Like 75, something like that? It was some ridiculously high number.
Yeah, they were old.
Yeah. And at that point, granted, when I get there, I'll probably be like, I want to live more, but...
I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, you'll probably be a broken old man. So
I probably will be. But however, if I was in a commune like that, where I get like 65 good years of just clean living, you know, weird, freaky pagan sex.
Well, I mean, to be fair, we don't know what their lives were like outside of their crazy ritual. It could have been like a horrible, like self-flagellation.
It's true.
Thing.
But
just
say,
like, you know, the old joke, coffee breaks over back on your heads.
Yes. Yeah, but so. let's just based off what we've seen, if that was the kind of the existence that they lived in, cool. I'm all about it. I would be bored out of my mind, don't get me wrong, but I think that has to do with modern capitalism. I'm just saying.
I mean,
you come there and I'm sitting there whittling little Warhammer figures out of wood. Fucking gotta make another Empire Spearman.
I was gonna say, I mean, I don't know how bored you could be if you were just on psychedelics 24/7.
Sounds good.
So I don't know. I mean, I can't. That'd be hard to gauge.
Oh,
like tripping balls 24/7 might alleviate your boredom. Would probably reduce your brain to gel, but you know, you would.
Look at my brain; it's so smooth.
You wouldn't be bored. You'd have a koala brain.
I'd have a koala brain. I was. I wanted to talk about it. We talked about it last week, and it got cut off. And when I was doing it, I was like, oh, we got to bring this up again. But I was laughing that we were talking about Duncan leaving Games Workshop.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for those who are unaware...
Two Coats Duncan.
Two Coats Duncan. But he, like, wanted to... He was leaving the company, and the company, like, announced his leaving before he even told any of his fans. Mm. Fans, in quotation marks. And so I was like, ooh, dick move by Games Workshop. But his Instagram has been pretty good lately. And I think...
Like, I saw he was painting some Fallout stuff, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing a lot of stuff. My only problem with him, and something I kind of want to yell at him about, is like, stop taking your pictures of your minis in shadow. Like, no one wants to see like moody pictures of mediocre painted figures.
I don't know. Why don't you look at how many likes he has and how many follows he has versus yours?
But that is personality over talent. Let me put it that way. Personality v talent.
Your jealousy is showing.
My jealousy is showing. I don't want that kind of responsibility that he has. He slips up once and all of a sudden he's vilified. And then he's vilified by most.
That's true.
Celebrated by the few that you don't want to be celebrated by.
If you were super popular, you'd have been canceled on Twitter long ago.
Yeah, exactly. What was I said? Yeah. What would have happened was that they would have been like, everyone boycott Joe, and I would have been leaned into it, and then I would have became like Rush Limbaugh and died of lung cancer.
Oh man, I can't wait. I'm gonna fucking throw a little party when that guy dies.
Yeah.
Fucking piece of shit.
He is a piece of shit.
He's one of the biggest pieces of shit currently alive.
Yeah, him and Newt Gingrich, I say, are pretty close.
I think he's worse than Newt Gingrich, but I mean,
Newt Gingrich
not
had
to defend
actual,
Newt Gingrich
actually had power though, like, and he abused it.
So
they both had power.
They both
just
have power
kinds
in different
power.
Ways. Yes, yeah. Yes. I would say that Rush Limbaugh's power is more unfortunate for the average person.
Yes,
because he affects hearts and minds, so to speak, which is worse.
Well, yeah, except for the fact they don't have hearts.
Well, I mean, he removed their hearts with the brainwashing.
Yes,
just
exactly.
Like I watched.
Oh God, they're getting political. Again.
I watched a fucking documentary. It was like called "The Brainwashing of My Dad." It was pretty fucked up. It was like this girl talking about her dad who was like unreasonably passive. Like, yeah, you know, I vote sometimes. Like, didn't really do much of anything. He was reasonably like liberal kind of guy, like, yeah, whatever. And then he started watching Fox News in his older years, and he became like he literally became a monster. He's like, the family disowned him. Like, I was like, Jesus Christ. They went how how slippery, like, he just fell into this fucking cult mindset. It was terrifying, actually.
Yeah,
I was like, oh well, that explains Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. Facebook is trash.
Fucking Zuckerberg.
Zuckerberg. But what with Duncan and all of that, he's the part that I wanted to go over that we missed on the actual podcast was that part of the issue that I'm hearing from, you know, we have some listeners. I'm not going to say fans because we don't know if they're fans or not. Who are inside.
Gentle listeners.
Who are inside Games Workshop. And I'm not talking like the guys who are out here. I'm talking like UK people. And I always say, like, the one thing I love about
our gentle listeners
about this podcast is that I think we have more fans from the actual gaming community than we actually have. Like,
you mean like gaming insiders?
Gaming insiders, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're too bitter for the average fan.
We're too way too bitter. We're only bitter.
we're too bitter for the average gaming fan. Yeah. But we're I think we're just bitter enough for the gaming industry worker.
Yeah, I mean, like, because we you know,
we've been through the shit.
Yeah, we've been through the shit. So from what I hear is that there's a lot of higher ups inside of Games Workshop who, because the company got so big so fast, they got kind of top heavy, not really top heavy, but bigger than they should at the top.
Right.
And a lot of people got promoted or got hired and they don't really deserve the position. They don't care about the game.
The too many chiefs problem.
Yeah. So that's part of what's going on. And now there's kind of like cult factions growing between like, this person who's in charge and their people, and then this person who's in charge and their people. And it's, you know, luckily we still have what's his face up at the top, the CEO, the new guy.
Yeah,
he's making all those good decisions, at least game wise so we don't have to deal with that nonsense. But the apparently some of the workers inside are not happy currently. Not that anybody's ever happy working for Games Workshop.
I mean, there was a period of time.
I mean, there's some long-term managers who have enough clout that they're fairly happy with what they're doing. People leave them alone, but
yeah, it's that's the your level of happiness there is based directly on how much you're directly supervised.
Exactly, and that's the honest to God truth. Like when we would run a store by ourselves, it was great, it was fun.
Yeah,
but the second we had like
customers had fun, we made money.
I mean, yeah, but when the district manager or whoever would come in and start being like,
yeah, we got to do it like this. The fun level dropped. The sales dropped.
Yeah.
And it's just like, well, you know, it wasn't us.
Yeah, exactly. But that's I wanted to talk about that just a little bit, because I don't think our listeners quite know that, which is fun, because maybe the next time the Games Workshop's stock tanks, I might pick some up.
I mean, you don't have to tank a lot to be worth to be worth picking up now, because it's very expensive.
I know. God, I was just thinking about that cast where we were talking about how much it dropped that one time.
Yeah, it was catastrophic.
Yeah. Like, man, could have bought it then, made some money. But,
yeah, I don't know. I don't buy stocks.
I wouldn't have done it to make money. I really would have done it just to say I own a huge chunk of Games Workshop.
I'm your boss. You got to listen to me. I own 4 shares of this company, and now you got to do what I say.
Ooh, I'm on the board of directors.
You can't arrest me. I'm the cake boss.
I'm the cake boss.
Actual quote when the cake boss was being arrested.
Well, he was the cake boss.
He was the cake boss. They could definitely arrest him, but you know,
hey, man.
He was still the cake boss.
That's the type of rich that... I think that's the reason why most people want to be rich, is where the law just becomes a suggestion rather than a series of punishments.
Oh, he was most certainly arrested.
Yes, but I mean, but he wasn't rich enough.
You need to be, to get to that level, you need to be a billionaire. So there's only a few of those. Like, they're definitely
more
above
than
the
should
law.
Be.
What's that?
More than it should be.
I mean, there should literally be zero.
That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely. That's not the argument. We're saying the level of money you need to be above the law, and it's you need to be in the billionaire level.
Hey, did you see...
You can't just be in the millionaire level.
Did you see the WizKids? Is it WizKids? Whoever puts out Nozler.
That's WizKids.
WizKids has been doing the old school 80s Transformers.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those are fucking cool.
Yeah, they did the paint them yourself Transformers guys.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's awesome. But it goes back to what we're saying about our 80s game. It's slowly starting to happen.
Yeah, you're just going to be able to eventually collect enough eclectic like HeroClix or various things here and there, and you just have the 80s Saturday morning cartoon game.
Yeah,
you don't even need to produce minis. They're all there.
They're all there.
The only ones that are missing really significantly, I think, are the Thundercats. Because there's a TMNT, there's multiple Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle sources.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Like if you have a TMNT thing, you got that. I would technically, like, if you want to do Challenge of the Super Friends, you've got obviously plenty of those. Transformers now, you got them. My Little Pony, you got them. Because there's all, yeah. WizKids also did My Little Pony in the same scale.
There's no G.I. Joe.
Well, G.I. Joe is kind of like, you could just use fucking army dudes. Like, I'm no. sure that someone has produced
heresy.
I am absolutely certain heresy. That someone has produced non-licensed G.I. Joe minis at this point. Yeah. There has to be. Like, there's got to be, like, they call him, like, Book instead of Duke. Yeah, it's Book.
I know that
And they're against the evil forces of Hiss.
Hey, the Cobra Hiss was a great tank.
Well, no, the organization is Hiss.
I know.
And the tank is the Cobra.
It's a Hiss Cobra as opposed to a Cobra Hiss.
Yeah, it's a Hiss Cobra instead of a Cobra Hiss.
there is a bad guy organization called Hiss, and I don't remember what it's from.
Is it
Venture Brothers?
Venture Brothers, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know.
It's hard to keep track of all the factions in Venture Brothers.
Yeah, the
show doesn't come out fast enough for me to remember fucking anything. Like, the next season will come out and I'll be like, what the fuck is happening?
It's every time. I thought this was about the stuff. Okay, so
this is a Johnny Quest parody show. What's happening?
So I'm looking at Thingiverse right now. That's where I go for a lot of my 3D files. There are definitely 3D files of almost every G.I. Joe vehicle you could think of.
See?
And it's pretty cool.
There you go.
You could do a pretty sweet 15 mil game with this. But the thing is I don't know if there's any of the figures. That's the thing. That's what
I'm sure
wonder
you can
about.
Find them.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can find Book. And mouse eyes.
Serpent eyes. Serpent eyes. I know. Well,
tsunami shadow.
Because most of, like, when you look up stuff like G.I. Joe or shit like that inside of Thingiverse, it's about replacement parts.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
my jaws need new arms.
Well, but be more like the missiles that you lost from your fucking tanks.
My USS flag no longer has any missiles.
Do you still have a flag?
No. I never had a flag.
Oh, okay, good.
I wish. Yeah,
I was
awesome.
Like,
That was the ultimate. The only
way to grow up in the 1%.
The only kid I knew who had a flag had parents going through a bitter divorce, which is why he got a flag.
My parents went through a bitter divorce. I never got a flag.
Sorry.
I got 4 years of trauma.
They didn't want to buy your affection hard enough, I guess.
Oh, no, not at all. That's what I say. I never, I just got 4 years worth of emotional trauma.
Yeah, at his dad's house, he had basically every G.I. Joe figure known to man, and at his mom's house, he had every Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles figure known to man.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah, so that's what he had. So
shout
outs to Clinton if you're still alive.
No, I would have liked a flag when I was a kid, but most of my G.I. Joes were secondhand, so we would go to like garage sales and stuff like that and buy it. Back when you could go to a garage sale and a person would just be like, take our fucking shit, as opposed to everything is worth money. You know, like, you can't buy that. It's worth $10. I'm like, I don't want to buy this for $10.
I've noticed as someone who used to do a reasonable amount of garage selling, there's just a lot less actual junk as well. Like, most times garage sales now, it's like clothes.
Yeah.
It's like clothes. Like, you don't find the, like, box of cool shit anymore.
No.
That's gone. Like,
there's kids' toys. You see that.
But still, it's pretty rare. Like, I remember I used to go to garage sale and I'd find, you know, it'd be like, oh, cool, a Sega Master System and some games. Like, you know, just old weird stuff or things like, or like, you know, like some old cool magazines. So it's like, oh, this is pretty cool. That shit's gone. Like, it just doesn't exist. Now it's just like clothes and baby stuff. That's every garage sale is clothes and baby stuff. And sometimes furniture. I was very, the last summer I really tried to do some garaging. And I was like, everything's fucking clothes. It's clothes, baby stuff, and furniture.
So that's what we got to talk about. Speaking of
garaging,
garage sale. I was thinking of estate sales. Did I talk about the Games Plus estate sale on the cast?
I don't think you did.
I didn't.
I think you talked about it, but I don't think you talked about it on the cast. No, you did.
Did I talk about it?
Yeah, you said because his collection made yours look like you didn't have a problem.
Yeah, well, anyway, so I wanted to give an update on that because I actually did go that weekend to, you know, see what it is.
To pay your respects to his collection.
Pay my respects to his collection. And for the listeners out there, this was three guys, actually. They were true estate. So, like, the guys had died, and they were, like, their widows or whoever had the figures were, like, do something with all of this. And then the third one was a guy who was just, you know, on his way out. So he wanted to just get, you know, clean up his stuff.
Right.
So you go there and literally every table, you remember how, you know how the auction is with all like the stacks on the tables?
Yeah, of course.
And there's like three tables fully stacked.
Yeah, just tons of shit.
And shelves.
Yeah.
It was four times the size of that.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So like every table was
Keep in mind, dear listeners,
these are 8x4 tables.
The auction is like you cannot walk through it with there's so much stuff. Just the standard auction.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, so there wasn't stuff underneath, so maybe it was about 2 to 3 times the size.
I mean, still for one person, that's absurd.
Well, there was three people, but
or whatever.
Yeah,
but even three people. Like that's...
each table was divided into like a specific time period because these were all historical games. They did have some science fiction fantasy stuff, but most of it was just historical. So you'd go to like the Dark Ages table, and they had all the Dark Ages figures in boxes, just labeled with the price. Now I got there about 2 hours after they opened, and apparently there was like a huge rush, a buying rush, right at the start. Which I figured would probably going to happen.
Mm.
But then after that, it was like, you know, I was there and there was still like a huge chunk of it left. But every table was just painted figures, metal figures, big boxes of metal figures. Not a lot of plastics except for like 15 mil tanks and stuff like
that. Yeah, all the old system metal.
Yeah. It was nuts going in there. And there was even like a section of like little green men. Little Green Army Men.
like the classic plastic?
Oh, yeah. Like, that's there was great. Boxes of them. Because people would use, like, the Native American ones for whatever cowboy game they're doing. Or the Alamo. The Alamo was one of them. I remember seeing shit like that. Like, the 54 millimeter ones. Mm. Army Men. Civil War guys. Things like that. I picked up a box of Army Men for my son because it was $5 for, like, this giant box of Green Army Men. And I was like, you know, I would have had fun with this as a kid. So maybe he will, too. But they actually had a Battle Masters box, a box full of Battle Masters. And I was like, you know, I don't know if my Battle Masters is complete. I'm going to buy this because it's cheap. It was like $15.
And that's fucking cheap as fuck for Battle Masters.
Yeah. Well, it didn't have the full box, though. It was just like a cardboard box filled with Battle Masters stuff.
I see. Okay.
But it was like it looked like it was all there. There was the battle mat was there. I saw the tower. I saw the
Mighty Cannon.
I saw the bag of figs. I'm like, this is probably all there. I get it home, and it's actually three Battlemaster sets. There were three mats in there.
So now you know what you should do? You should start running in a Battlemaster's Mega Battle at Adepticon.
I was talking about that with Dwayne. I said, what I want to do is I'm going to line up, because that's the only place. You'd have to do it on the floor, because it's, the mat itself is, I think, 5 foot by...
I know, it's huge.
Yeah, it was like 5 foot by like 4.5 feet.
You play that game Peter Cushing style on the floor.
On the floor, like a savage. Yeah, I think it's 4.5 by 5 feet because it can't fit on a standard gaming table. That's the problem with it. So, okay, if it's lengthwise, let's say we'll do 5 foot length. So we'll do 5 mats of that. What, that's 25 feet of
25 feet of Battle Masters.
I would love that game because like the center would all crush and then the two guys on the very end who survive would have to like move across all the boards to meet each other. With whatever armies they have left, because the only way that you win that game is to be the last man standing.
That's right. You have to wipe out the other player.
You have to wipe out the other player with the midgets dressed as goblins from the commercial, from what I remember.
Also featured in the HeroQuest commercial.
Also the same midget goblins.
Yes.
They probably filmed it back-to-back, like same director.
Most likely.
It was actually an early Steven Spielberg commercial.
Sounds all right.
It was right after he finished The Color Purple. He had to make some money, and he was like, I'm going to direct some HeroQuest.
You got to do some goblins.
Let's get some midgets and goblins.
Let's do something with goblins.
Still better effects than Willow.
Hey, I love Willow.
But yeah, they actually had a decent amount of
You really are the greatest.
Of fantasy and sci-fi stuff fairly cheap, but I have made a pledge to myself that I am not going to buy any new or any more used Games Workshop stuff.
Okay.
Or fantasy sci-fi in general. I don't need it. So I'm not that's my pledge to myself is no more. There's nothing that I can
do. I close my eyes, I pretend I do not see it.
I would say that the only exception is if I came across maybe like some Chaos Dwarves in the wild.
What about squats?
No, I'm done with squats. I have all the squats that I could possibly ever need.
What about I guess it's really
dude,
it.
I mean, have
the only things I can think of are squats and Chaos Dwarves.
Maybe Dogs of War. But that would have to be cheap enough that I would pick it up.
Yeah, Dogs of War are a thing.
Those are just really cool models.
Yeah, and technically you have a giant-ass Empire army, so...
Yeah. That's just me hedging my bets on that. But I was super, it was super fucking impressive.
The only thing I'm going to get is the only new thing I want to get is the Titan Forge Ogre Army, the pirates.
Well, they're going to be at Adepticon.
So. I hope they have some stuff because I want to get some. I want to nab some of those conquistadogers.
Tell them on the cast because they listen to the cast.
Ah, yes. Titan Forge guys, bring some conquistadogers so I can buy them from you.
Yeah.
I want to get because I have the shark hunter and I have the dude with the accordion who's great. Yeah. But I want to do like I think we're going to do the Gut Star army where you have the 8 iron guts and then the couple casters to just buff them and like everything is about the iron guts.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just need a few. And then I need the one hero on the crab because I'm going to do a Frost Lord on Stonehorn as the crabman.
I kept that one.
you might not have the hero. You might have the two guys with the gun.
I have the hero. Okay. So, yeah.
Because there's like three different guys who can ride the Stonehorn, and then three different guys who can ride the other one, the Tusk one. That's bad. The Stonehorn's good. The Tusk one's bad. If I remember correctly, it's hard to keep a track because it changes fucking every goddamn day. But yeah, I definitely want to do a bunch. That the Pirate Ogre Army is the next thing. That's gonna be my next big project. I just have some basing, gluing, and matte sealant to do for my my Nurglemans.
Remember, you gotta make it super matte. That's the key. You got no gloss whatsoever.
It's never going to look that way because I use Nurgle's Rot and I use Blood for the Blood God after the matte coat. So there's always some shininess.
Yeah, you can't do that before.
Yeah, there's always some shininess.
No. It has to be so matte it absorbs all the light. It's like a black hole for the figure.
So I should just prime them black and then matte spray them and call them my army?
Probably that would work.
I see.
I'll do that with a ninja army.
Yeah, they're ninjas. Yeah.
Titan Forge, well, speaking of, with their Patreon, they have the STLs out, and they did a whole Asian army. A lot of the Asian army files I got.
Oh, dope!
So
that army's really cool. I would want to do a Cities of Sigmar army with that. That the lady on the goldfish is fucking awesome.
I you know, the more I get into the 3D printing with the resin printing, which is we talked about, you want it to be just you want 3D printing to be press button get figure.
Yes, like a fucking vending machine.
Resin 3D printing is as close to that as I've seen. Where it's like literally you take the file, you put it in the file slicer, you press a button, it slices it, you plug it into the machine, and the machine prints it out. There's a little bit of finishing you have to do otherwise, but it's like the same as like cleaning off any other resin model or plastic model on a sprue.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the same amount of work and once you get down to it. But that's as close. So it's like, why would I, A, go buy figures that... Unless very specific new fantasy army. Because you can't really play certain... You can't play Age of Sigmar with a ton of proxies. You could get away with some, like a mixed army.
It really depends on what army you have. Like the ogres would be very easy to do a full Age of Sigmar.
Any of the mishmash books of old figures that exist pre-Age of Sigmar. But you can't do it with...
You'd never be able to do Bone Reapers.
Bone Reapers or the
Overlords.
Cerdon, yeah.
There's some stuff
you'd be able to
do.
Yeah,
you would need a very specific aesthetic to do the Overlords. Actually, I think, talk about Titan Forge again.
Yeah. Well, they're STLs.
They have those Clockwork Dwarves, which would probably work just fine for
And they have Overlords the STLs army. For them that were just released this
month. That would probably work just fine for the Cadron Overlords. So, yeah. But definitely Osiark Bone Reapers, you couldn't really do a counts as, because like, what are you going to do? Like regular skeletons? There's already regular skeleton models. There's technically two versions of regular skeleton models in Age of Sigmar. So if you field regular skeletons, people will be like, oh, those aren't Bone Reapers. Those are regular ass skeletons, bro.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what I'm saying. And like the new High Elves are probably going to be that way. Looks, I don't know for sure. But yeah, any new army that's been released for Age of Sigmar, like with a completely new aesthetic.
The Eel Riders.
The Eel Riders are a great example of that. You're not going to be able to do that.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe Fire Slayers, you might be able to, if you had Slayers, you painted them properly.
Well, there are a lot of not Games Workshop Slayer models, so yes, you could do Fire Slayers, because they're shirtless dwarves with weapons. Like
they're shirtless dwarves with weapons.
They're shirtless dwarves with weapons. They're featherless biped.
But even then, you have to, like, there's certain models that you can't proxy. Like, you need a very specific looking model for
it. It actually would probably be pretty good to proxy some of them now that I think about it, because they have the two units that are different, but the models look very, like, the GW models look almost exactly the same. So if you did a different company for the different the other unit, it would actually probably be beneficial for your opponent and yourself, because you'd be like, yeah, those are the Volkite Berserkers and those are the Volkite Punishers.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh yeah, you can clearly tell because those models are from a different fucking company, so they look very different from the other ones.
Yeah. I mean, you could get away with it, but I don't think that there's many...
Fire Slayers are actually an army I think that would be really beneficial for, because their actual kits are so samey.
Yeah. And they were put together in the old way before it was like really tight fit plastics.
Yeah.
It's like, no, they never really looked that right. But yeah, you can't really do that with a lot. But it's like, if I'm going to play, like, let's say Warhammer Fantasy Battles comes out 4 years, 3 years from now, whenever, if I'm going to play an Empire army, there is absolutely no reason why I would buy any Empire figures. I mean, not just as a, I have a ton of them, but you could just go to the store and get fucking any model you want for cheap. And you don't have to do it that way.
Get yourself some Cossacks.
Cossacks.
Oh, man, a whole unit doing the dance.
Ooh, I wonder if I could find that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Get a bear in the front.
Well, I mean, what movie was I watching? I think it was with Fire and Sword. I can't remember. It was one of those, like, movies from Poland about Polish history. So they're not, like, they're very, like, poorly shot. They look like a TV show. Like, did you ever watch the Witcher movie that was released? There's clips of it on YouTube.
No, I had no idea that there was a Witcher movie released.
But it's all in Polish. I can't remember.
I mean, that makes sense. The dude who wrote The Witcher is Polish.
Well, yeah. But that's why they made it into a series in Poland. Let me see. But it's it looks like you're just like, what? What the hell is this? Why does this look like this? But they had, before the big battle, like, the Cossacks came out and they were doing the dance out in front of the army and getting them all cheered up. I'm like, it's quaint.
Actually, it's funny that you bring up The Witcher, because there's a thing, you know, the Witcher is the most diverse casted fantasy show ever. And a bunch of the right-winger / MRA / white nationalist racist chuds were, like, all, like, super mega butthurt boycotting it because it's supposed to be historical Poland. Why are there not all white people? And the best is the actual author of The Witcher, and he's like, nah, this is perfect. You're all idiots. And I was like, damn, fucking owned. They got owned.
The show is called The Hexer. The Hexer.
Nice.
If you're looking at it. It looks like here on the cover of the DVD, it looks like it's called The Witcher on the DVD.
Okay.
But it is definitely, it almost looks like a porn parody of The Witcher.
Der Hexer. I like that. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Name, Michael Zabrowski is The Hexer.
Nice.
good Polish name, Michael Zabrowski.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know Michael Zabrowski. Me and him used to go to church together.
Yeah, you know, he made a real killer Italian beef.
Michael Zabrowski. Make Italian beef.
Yeah,
it's Polish.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's making a killer Italian beef.
Yeah, okay.
That's exactly the point.
What was I even talking about? I don't even know how I got on that subject with The Witcher and The Hexer or whatever else.
Counts as models.
Oh, well, counts as models. Counts as models. There's no reason. There's absolutely not one reason why, if you're going to play elves, like use Games Workshop High Elves. There's no real reason to. Or Dark Elves. You can use whatever you want.
Mm.
Just find whatever files you like and print them out or whatever have you.
Plastic models are nice still.
They are. Yeah, they...
It's I think it also matters to it. Like, I think a lot of it, just like anything else, it's like it's just a suite of tools, because, for example, the oft derided like single pose sculpts of the fifth edition, while those poses are usually silly because they're like in a quasi dynamic pose, but they are not able to actually get a dynamic model.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to say have STL files of just say a GW high elf standing at perfect attention with their spear up and shield, it would be perfect to print just 70 of that model, because that's exactly perfect for the high elf aesthetic. It's just, you have a regiment of perfectly trained, everyone standing the same, high elves, no problem there. Like a multi-part kit for that type of model, pointless.
Yeah.
Do a single thing. Now for things like, I don't know, savage orcs or models where there's going to be a lot of variants of, like, they're going to be rowdy looking or whatever, multi-part plastic makes sense.
Yeah. Well, the, was it you I was laughing with that? I think it might have been Dwayne, but the for Battle Masters when I was going through it, I was like, in case I, there was some like broken spears on the Goblin Wolf Riders. Mm-hmm. So I was looking on Thingiverse to see if there's anything I could do that could replace it, or just print out and replace it with. And there's actually some guy has built or scanned every model from Battle Masters and Hero Quest and uploaded them on there.
That's awesome.
So you could print literal 5th edition figures.
That's awesome.
And yeah, they look just as bad as they did in 5th edition, but it's really nice that I could just like they print this exactly out when I
correctly.
Need
it.
Yeah.
They look correct.
Yeah. They look awful. Like the those
like
beasts,
they're supposed to.
Oh my god, those 5th edition beastmen are the plastics are so bad.
Oh, I love those guys. They're so horrible.
They are they are the ugliest fucking figures I've ever seen.
No, they're horrible. I love them.
The upgrade that the beastmen got in 6th edition was
it was the biggest glow up.
Might no, I well,
there was no bigger glow up in Warhammer than that one.
Yeah, because I think no, you know, I liked a lot of the. There were some metals that I liked in that army, like the metal Ungors. I really liked because they were very small and they kind of looked like pixies a little bit.
Well, I mean, I did like the old, the old Night Goblins, which were super tiny.
Yeah,
I liked those guys a lot.
Well, I mean, and I like the aesthetic of the old Wood Elves, the pre 6th edition Wood Elves, and I also like the aesthetic of the 6th edition Wood Elves. So I'm not gonna complain too much.
Yeah, I'm saying they had the Beastmen had the biggest glow up for sure.
Out of the plastics, probably.
Yeah, for sure. There's no like Chaos Warriors are close because the old Chaos Warriors are big and chonky.
Oof.
And the new Chaos Warriors are much, much better.
When did they make that switch from the Chaos from the S curve from the Scoliosis Spine Chaos Warriors to the
6th edition?
Was it 6th?
It was 6th.
It probably was. Or it might have been early 7th.
No, it was 6th because it was the 6th edition came out and you still had the old Warriors of Chaos Codex or army book that had all the pictures of the old chonk Chaos Warriors.
Yeah.
But when they did Storm of Chaos, they dropped the new warrior models were either available shortly before or at launch of Storm of Chaos.
Because
all of the Storm of Chaos pictures are the new Chaos Warrior models.
New Chaos Warrior models.
And they somehow managed to make the new ones, the brand new ones from the new thing, look fine next to the other ones, but the new ones are much better. It's really weird looking. Like, when you put them together in a, like, if you mix the new Chaos Warrior models they made with the older Chaos Warrior models, like the static ones, and you just stick them all together in a unit, they look great. It was very impressive.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I haven't even looked at
it. I don't know. It's crazy because the models are like, they like, individually, like the Chaos Warrior model, look at the old one. It's like, it's fine, but he's very like rigid. Like you can tell it's just like they're standing very in that mono pose. And the new ones are more dynamic. But when you stick them together, it just it looks correct.
All right. Got a little bit of time left. I just wanted to ask if you had, did you get a chance to look at all the new Nurgle models for Shadespire, the Nurgle Warband?
Oh, the Warband? Yeah, I did.
Yeah. And did you enjoy the prolapse status on the one
it
model?
I think it's the only GW model in official prolapse anus at this
point. I am going to say it's the only wargaming model I've ever seen with a prolapse anus.
Ever seen, yes, because I'm sure that there's another one somewhere.
I mean, there probably is. It might go back to the old, like, 3rd edition pre-Slotta Games Workshop shit. There might have been, like, prolapsed anus goblin, you know, whatever. There was some weird stuff sculpted back in the day. But this is definitely the first
official Games Workshop prolapsed anus model.
And it's not just prolapsed. I mean, that thing's hanging out. I mean,
it's gone.
Yeah, it's an entity now. It's a nurgling.
It's a nurgling now.
It's
yeah.
become a nurgling.
Yeah. Yeah. They're pretty cool.
Did they release the AOS rules
for
them yet?
They have.
Anything good?
Yes and no.
Yeah.
She is a strictly better Nurgle sorcerer.
Mm-hmm.
Better than a regular Nurgle sorcerer in any way. However, she does not have a unique spell.
Oh, okay.
Her spell is the same as the default Nurgle sorcerer. She does have additional rules. So she is better. But she costs 180 points as opposed to 120 points.
So
it's a 60-point difference, but you do get 2 Blight Kings for the cost. Like you
oh,
get
well,
a,
that makes it worth it if yes. you get 2 Blight Kings for the cost.
Yes, you get a better sorcerer, and then you get the 2
did
Blight
they,
Kings.
Did they do the rules for all three together?
She has rules, and the Blight Kings have rules.
Okay, but you get the Blight Kings. You have to buy them all.
The package is 180
okay.
points.
Okay, because I know with some, I think it was with the Stormcast, you could split. You could either just get the wizard or you get the wizard with the guys.
Yeah, these you must buy them both together. They don't have to be fielded together, and they are separate drops, but you want to field them together because the Blight Kings are 100% just Blight Kings, except they have a rule where She can shunt damage off herself to the Blight Kings.
Oh, yeah, that's
so
great.
You want to field them a little unit three. So, like, basically, like, this is if your army list already has a sorcerer and you have 60 points left over after you're done building your army, you just take your sorcerer out and put her in. Yeah. There's no reason not to. That's what it's for. So it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, I'm not like disappointed, or maybe I am. No, I am disappointed, but I'm not upset. It's just like, yeah, I'll get it. It's just, it's not like, oh man, I'm super excited about this new model. It's going to really make the difference. It's just something I'm going to have. That's like, it's another option.
Yeah.
So it's not bad. Like, I mean, the models are fucking dope. So there's
are
that.
They dope?
They are dope.
They are dope, sir. All right. That's about it for this week. Go to Game Classy Facebook page. It's the best way that you can get in contact with us. Something I keep on forgetting to talk about is that I do have an Instagram page, which is also another way that I'll let people like get in contact. My Instagram is Game Classy Joe. Steve is no Instagram, right?
No Instagram. No.
But you do have a Twitter.
I do. Which is Command Throw.
I am Command Throw. You didn't get the one that you wanted, did you? During the Twitter page?
I check every so often, and it's still held. But supposedly Twitter is opening up inactive accounts.
Yeah.
And the account that has just Command Throw has not posted ever. And it was made in 2011. So I'm hoping at some point soon they will free up the name.
Okay. You could also follow me on Thingiverse. I haven't posted anything in a while because I haven't really been designing with open source software, with open source STLs. A lot of them have been stuff that I've gotten through Patreon and stuff like that. But I am at Classy Games Joe. I don't know why I switched around for that. I must have been high or drunk when I put that together. I was like, I'm gonna be mysterious on this one and do it this way. The best way you can help out the podcast is like, comment, and subscribe on the iTunes. You could also like, comment, and subscribe.
Actually, I just changed it to Command_Throw.
There you go. Because that was available?
That was available.
Okay. So, damn it, you threw up my... You could also like, comment, and subscribe on the YouTubes. Because for some odd reason, people like watching the podcast on the YouTube. I'm hoping to get a stream going on for YouTube with 3D printing. I'm trying to figure it out because it's kind of hard to record video for 8 hours of a print going. And
it's like an ASMR thing.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm going to try and do something similar to that. Considering the fact that fucking people watch hydraulic press smash things, I think people would watch a 3D printer build things, so... People are weird. They watch anything. So, Steve, until the next cast.
Mortis.
Okay.
Game Classy.